The Ellen G. White Will. This is how things stood in 1912, the year Ellen White signed the will, as referred to in Chapter 27. But the financial matters did not work out that way. Two elements stand out in the Ellen G. White will: 1, the custody of the E. G. White writings after her death, and 2, the provisions dealing with financial arrangements. As to the features dealing with the care of her writings, most are familiar. The will states, "I hereby give, devise, and bequeath to William C. White, Clarence C. Chrysler, Charles H. Jones, Arthur G. Daniels, and Frank M. Wilcox." Here in the will there appears a listing of her modest properties, consisting of the home and its appurtenances, all of my right, title, and interest in the copyrights and book plates in all languages of the following publications. Here follows a list of her then current books, except education. Also, my general manuscript file and all indexes pertaining thereto. Also, my office furniture and office library. Together with all and singular, the tenements, hereditaments, and appurtenances thereto belonging, or in any wise appertaining, in trust nevertheless for the uses and purposes hereinafter contained. To have and to hold the said real and personal property unto said trustees, and their successors, upon the trust to enter into and upon and take possession of the said real estate and said personal property, administering, preserving, and protecting the said real property and handling said personal property, and publishing and selling said books and manuscripts and conducting the business thereof. The will then leads into certain financial provisions. In further specifying the work of the trustees in their care and use of the writings, it states, "Then my said trustees shall use the overplus for the improvement of the books and manuscripts held in trust by them, and herein provided, for the securing and printing of new translations thereof, for the printing of compilations from my manuscripts." DF 832. The will is published in full in F.D. Nichols, Ellen G. White and her critics, and copies may be had on request from the Ellen G. White estate. The will also provided for the continuation of the Board of Trustees in perpetuity. A minimum of literary property was left with W.C. White, primarily out of print books and education, as a means of custody. These were in time transferred to the Ellen G. White estate, incorporated, putting all of the E.G. White literary properties under the control of the Board of Trustees. As to the financial provisions, as noted by W.C. White in his 1912 letter, 75% of her estate was left to meet the outstanding obligations incurred to advance the work of the Church into the Seventh-day Adventist denomination, mainly for the work of the trustees who would carry the responsibility of the care and publication of her writings. 25% of her estate she willed to the family. 10% was assigned to William and his heirs. 10% was assigned to Edson, but as he was childless, provision was made that after his death this portion would be used in the missionary work of the Church, primarily among blacks. 5% was dedicated to a fund to assist in the education of her grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and other worthy persons. Thus the ultimate bequest to the family was 15% of the estate, leaving 85% for the work of the Church. She willed her personal possessions and furniture to her two sons and made an outright bequest of $500 each to Sarah McIntyre, Clarence Chrysler, and her granddaughters, Ella Robinson and Mabel Workman, daughters of W.C. White's first wife. Ellen White had clearly in mind that all members of the family had lived on a very restricted basis, financially. In recognition of their dedicated and self-sacrificing service to her work and to the cause of God, she desired to have them benefit somewhat from her estate. All this was arranged in her will, dated February 9, 1912, carefully drawn up by a competent attorney and duly executed. But it did not work out that way.